Let me invite you to take your copy of God's Word and open to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want us to read verses 23 through 27 this morning, and then we're going to take some time to reflect on what those verses say and what they mean for us as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. As you're turning there, let's stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. And following this, I like to get low before the Lord and pray, and I invite you to join me if the Lord gives you grace to do so. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version of the Bible. That's the version that I use, and you follow along in the version that you use. And after we pray, we'll come back and begin to think about what the Lord is preparing us for. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. The Apostle Paul writes, saying, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, also He took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord." Pray with me. So, Holy Father, this is a meaningful time, a symbol that You have given us that we might examine ourselves, that we might look to the Lord, that we might see what it is for us to follow in the footsteps of the One who gave His life so that we might live. And Father, I pray now that as we look into Your Word, we would examine what You have to say. Allow Your Word to examine our own hearts, that we might take the symbols of the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the body given of Christ. We might take them in a worthy manner, in a worshipful manner, in a manner that blesses us, but in a manner more than blessing us, blesses You. Give me grace to speak in a way that honors You and glorifies Your name. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to think about what you're doing on Thanksgiving morning. You know, Thanksgiving morning, you get up, you have the day off, you're relaxed. Maybe you're still in your pajamas, maybe not. Maybe you got up and you're put on some clothes. But you're just, you know, maybe you're playing with the kids outside, or maybe there's a football game on that you're enjoying in the morning, or the Thanksgiving parade is on. So maybe the kids are watching the parade and you're watching that with them. But on Thanksgiving morning, the ladies are usually busy doing something very important. They're usually in the kitchen, right? And if we're not cooking, what are we doing? No matter what we're doing, whether we're outside or watching TV or what we're doing, we're really just waiting. Waiting for four words to be said. Four words to ring out from the kitchen. Four words from our mother or our grandmother. Okay, come to the table. And then no matter what you're doing at that point, you just drop it and you run to the table because you just can't wait to enjoy all that's been prepared for you there. And oh, what a feast it often is. Turkey and dressing and butter beans and lima beans and cornbread and I guess green, but lots of beans, you know. And then there's dessert. There's apple pie. And what kind of dessert do y'all have for Thanksgiving? A pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie? Yeah. Lemon pie, okay. Pecan pie. I mean, you just can't wait to come to the table. Enjoy it. And there's something about that call. That call implies several things. And what I want to talk about is using that as an analogy to help us understand how we should come to the Lord's table. First of all, this is an invitation to come personally. It's an invitation for you to come. Come to the table. But if you come to the table, there's some expectations that are placed on you. I know when, for me growing up, we always went to my mamaw's house. Y'all have a mamaw, grandma, something like that? We always went to my mamaw's house, and we would wait for my mamaw to say, come to the table. However, if we came, we knew we better come with three things. We better come, first of all, with clean hands. We better come with a good appetite, and we need to come with plenty of time to spend there. And it dawns on me, that is what I believe Paul's saying in the way we are to come to the Lord's table. First of all, we are to come with clean hands as we come before the Lord and eat amongst the blessings of God. It begins, as Jesus tells us, with repentance. My grandmother, you just didn't show up. If you were outside playing or something and your hands were all dirty, and you just didn't come and sit down and expect to enjoy all that they had spent time preparing with these grubby hands, right? How many times have you, somebody said amen. How many times have you been, if somebody told you or your grandmother told you, get up and go wash your hands? I know my grandmother used to tell me, get up and go wash your hands, boy, then come back and sit down at the table. Well, at the very beginning of His ministry, Jesus says something very similar of enjoying what God has prepared for His people. He says, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, repent and believe the gospel. Repent! Right? It's interesting, when you look in the language of the New Testament, it's a present tense, which means do it and then keep doing it. It's an ongoing. Repent. Turn from sin. Turn from the Lord. Turn from sinfulness. Turn to holiness. Turn to the Lord. Repent. Ongoing action. And that's something that we must continue to do, even as we are believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is not something that we do only once. You know, repentance is not something you do only at your salvation. I was saved, I repented, now I'm good. Now, repentance is something that the Lord places on our hearts, a desire for us to continually to live a life that we're turning from sin and putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about the Lord's Supper and as we enjoy this beautiful symbol, we need to make sure our hearts are hearts of repentance. For you cannot receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ without repentance. So we need clean hands. Not only do we need clean hands, but we need a good appetite too. You're always hungry by the time you get to the Thanksgiving table. I know I am. Mostly because my mom and dad and grandmother wouldn't let me eat anything for hours beforehand. Boy, put that junk food down. We're about to eat a good meal. Don't ruin your appetite. By the time I got to the Thanksgiving table, I would have just eaten everything 10 times over. Right? Just yesterday, I owe you a dollar. No, I'm going to use your name. Misty was bringing home supper. I knew she was bringing home supper. I told the kids they were bringing home supper. Ava Grace came to me and said, hey, I want a cheese stick. And I said, no, your mama's bringing home supper. Keller was crying. Didn't care. Mama's bringing home supper. All right. So I walk out of the room. I come back. All three of my kids are gnawing down on these big, huge cheese sticks. What are you doing? I'm like, what? He said, but they were hungry, Daddy. Did you not hear me? Mom is bringing home supper. Going to ruin their appetite. And I am mindful of how often we enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sinfulness, and it ruins our appetite for God. Jesus said something in the Beatitudes that points us to this. He says, blessed are those who hunger. Can you be blessed? Hungering? Absolutely. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness. For they will be filled. You know, We live in a world that wants to just fill us constantly, wants to fill our souls with things that aren't ultimately meaningful and satisfying. And yes, sometimes it's sinfulness. A lot of times it's temptation towards sinfulness that steals our hunger for righteousness and our hunger for God. But sometimes it's just filling our life with things that are less than that. I mean, I know I struggle with just filling my life with watching college football and watching this thing I have recorded on the cable or just doing different things. We get so busy. We get so busy with the things of this world that we don't really hunger and thirst for righteousness and long for God. And so I think part of what Jesus is saying and Paul is ultimately saying in this text is that we need to make sure that we keep our hearts at that place that it's longing for more and more of Christ. Longing for more and more of Christ to fill it and not being content with anything less. So we need a good appetite. We also need to take plenty of time to enjoy the moment. You can't really enjoy a meal in a rush. I mean, you can eat a meal in a rush. But you can't enjoy a meal in a rush. And good meals are meant to take time consuming. You got a Thanksgiving meal, you just don't run in there and just throw it all in there and just eat it fast as you can and leave. No, you go and you sit down. And you pass around the turkey and the dressing and that stuff. You don't really know what it is, but it looks good. Hey, pass that stuff down here. I don't care what this name is. I'm just going to eat. It looks so good. And you eat, and you enjoy the flavors, and you enjoy the company, and you talk. And I know growing up, going to school, we were only given like 20, 25 minutes for lunch. And so we would just throw it down fast as we could. And looking back on those meals, that's probably the only way we could eat those meals. But we would eat it really fast and then hopefully take the rest of the time to play. But when it comes to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, we don't need to just say, oh, this is good, I'm glad I'm saved, let me get out of here. We need to savor the flavors of the gospel. We need to savor who Christ is. We need to take time and enjoy all that He has done. And not quickly run from it. So, this morning, if you would, just close your eyes just for a moment. And I just want us to take time to think about what has been done for us. Think about what our forgiveness costs the Lord. Think about what it means for you personally to be forgiven. Think about what you were forgiven of. The things that other folks know about, and the things that only you know about. Think about how you should now live because of the price paid for your forgiveness. Think about the fact that God has promised to meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. If He is merciful enough to meet our greatest need, how much more will He meet all our needs? Think about what our future holds. Think about what your future holds because of the sacrifice given by our Lord. Think about the sins that you have not confessed. The sins that you struggled with this week or maybe even this morning. And bring them humbly before the Lord. In verse 28 of 1 Corinthians it says, 11, a man ought to examine himself. So take time right now and examine your heart. Now open your eyes. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God who blesses us not through our works, but through His works? Not through our merit, but through His mercy. When we examine ourselves, we can't help but say thank You for the gospel. So we come personally. It's an invitation to come personally. It's also an invitation to come collectively. It's a call to come together. When we come to eat at the Thanksgiving table, we come together as a family. The same is true when we come to the Lord's table. We come collectively as a family. No one enjoys eating a meal alone. Well, we enjoy eating a meal together with those that love us around us. And have you ever been out to eat and you saw somebody eating a meal by themselves? Don't you just hate that? If you were invited somebody that was eating alone that you didn't even know to eat with you. Or have you ever been eating alone and had somebody that you didn't know invite you to eat with them? It's such a good feeling. We don't want to eat alone. We want to be together. And when it comes to the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, please realize that the salvation of the Lord was not simply just to save you from hell, but the salvation of the Lord was to save you and bring you into His family. It's to make us one in Christ. We are one in Christ. Now, we don't observe the Lord's Supper this way just because it's not our custom to do so, but some denominations will actually take one loaf of bread and they'll fall down and they'll break a piece of the bread off. And they'll enjoy it. Or they'll have, and then with the cup, we'll have one cup that they all drink from. And they'll just wipe it. I know some of you are going, ooh, the hygiene on that. I get it. So y'all would get you little cups. I get it, all right? But it's a beautiful picture that we don't need to lose. That we're all brought together as one. That we are eating from the bread of life who is Christ. We're drinking from the one who is eternal life, living water, the one who has given His sacrifice of His body and His blood for us to enjoy forever. I hear people from time to time say, "Bradley, I don't need the church. I can follow Jesus without the church." When you have a biblical perspective of what salvation is, that almost doesn't even make sense. That's like saying, I can beat the opponent without being on the team, without needing the team. No, it's a team sport. It's a team event. Salvation is a team collective, right? When He saves you, yes, He saves you from hell, but He does so by putting you as a member of His body. As a member of the church, as a member of His family. And so we need each other. We long to share in the fellowship of other believers that He has saved, that He has redeemed, that He has forgiven, that we might worship with. In Acts chapter 2, look at this played out in verse 42 and following. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came over every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together. They were together and had all things in common. They were selling possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all. If any had need, they looked around and said, "Hey, you have a need. I can meet that need." Why? Because you're a believer and I'm a believer. And I want you to be taken care of because you're a child of God. Day after day, it says, attending the temple together, they were breaking bread. In their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. So, yes, you were made to be a worshiper individually, but you were made to worship collectively in the family of God. And so, as we come to the Lord's table, just realize that we come as one. It's an invitation not only to come personally, not only to come collectively, it's also an invitation to come expectantly. expectantly. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving dinner right now. I'm looking forward to it. And so I think there is something to that when we think about what we are to be looking forward to as we enjoy Jesus. Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." When you get up every morning, do you take your Bibles? And do you open it up? I can't wait what the Lord's going to show me today. I just can't wait to see what He's going to teach me today. I know I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that I've read 100 times. And I can't wait what He's going to show me anew and afresh in His Word about something of His grace, something of His mercy, something of His invitation to come, something of being a part of the family, something about the future and what God has for me and what God has for His church. We are to look forward to what God will teach us and show us and feed us way more than we are what we're going to eat for lunch today. But some of us are thinking right now, what should it be? Mexican or Chinese? Think Jesus. What is Jesus going to do? How is He going to teach you? How is He going to bless you? How has He blessed you? Look forward. It's part of what 1 Corinthians 11:26 means when Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." When we are part of this beautiful symbol, it is a way for us to visually proclaim to the world that we are His, that He is ours, and we are looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ steps out of heaven, steps onto earth, and receives His own. Do you do that? Do you have that kind of heart that says, "Come, Lord Jesus, come"? Do you have a heart that's growing more and more dissatisfied with this old sinful world? And more longing for heaven. More and more longing for the presence of Christ. That's what we are displaying when we take the Lord's Supper. Okay, and finally, we must say the call to come to the table is also a call to come gratefully. We come gratefully. Going back to that Thanksgiving table, you've just eaten and eaten. And you took your time to eat. I mean, you took so much time that you ate and you digested so you could eat some more. You've been there, right? And finally you're done and you just can't put another thing in your mouth. And you sit back and maybe you kind of untuck your shirt, around a little bit. You sigh. And you give your grandmama a kiss on the cheek. Or your wife or your mother. And what do you say? "Thank you. That was good." Jesus did that every time you ever see Him eat a meal in Scripture. He turned to the Father and He said, "Thank you, Father, for your provisions." When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we must do it in a heart that says, "Thank you, Father, that though I was lost, now I am found. Though I was dead, I am alive. Though I was a slave, I am now set free. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for the gospel. May I now live in a way worthy of what you have given." This morning, may we come to the table. Father, now as we prepare for the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, God, I pray that our hearts would be in tune with yours, that we would have had some time to reflect upon the type of attitudes we are to approach this ordinance that you have given us, a special ordinance. It's time for us to remember the sacrifice of Christ, a time for us to look inwardly into our sinfulness, to repent over things that need to be put forward, for us to look forward to Christ's coming in a heart of complete thanksgiving. And Father, I pray right now as we prepare ourselves for a hymn of invitation, before we take the Lord's Supper, Father, I pray that there, if there's a lost person in this room, Lord, You would pierce their heart. You would pierce their soul. That, Father, right now, that they would turn from sin. They would repent and they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And if that's you right now, you need to do that. The Lord's Supper is not for you. If you're not a believer, then the Lord's Supper is not, it's not yours to enjoy yet, because it is simple, it's simply a symbol. It's an outward symbol of an inward reality. And if that inward reality is not yours, the symbol will mean nothing. But you can make that inward reality yours.